Building High-Performance Government Through Lean Six Sigma. Leader's Guide to Create Speed, Agility, and Efficiency. Authors: Mark Price, Walter Moores, and Hundley M. Elliott. During the last few years, chaos has erupted in many places around the world, and that created so many challenges for the governments and public organizations. It seems that there is no way out. But what if there is? That is what Mark Price, Walter Moores, and Hundley M. Elliott are planning to achieve through their book. They are offering a third option that may be the answer to all the hazards happening. The result that we are hoping for is not as hard as we imagine it to be. It is actually very simple and can be easily accomplished if you just follow the following methods. Part 1. Operational Excellence. Operational excellence follows a movement that started back in the 80s that aimed for improving the quality of products. The first step is to know your customer. If you want to improve your performance, then you must rely on your customers, as they are the only ones capable of judging the quality of your product. The next step is knowing more about your customers. This can be accomplished through two techniques. 1. The voice of the customer. And that happens through two methods. A passive one that is established through using your own data that has information about your customers or through listening to their complaints and feedback. An active one, and you do it through making interviews with your customers or conducting surveys to know more about what they want or need. 2. The heart of the customer. Here's when we go behind the numbers and statistics and really try to live the customer's experiences through their eyes. The best way to go is to use either the active method by asking the customers directly instead of waiting for them to tell you, or to use the heart of the customer approach. You can use the ethnographic research through watching the customers using your service or product in their real-life environment to figure out new ideas to make everything easier for them. Then you move on to the next step, which is the execution management. It is the process in which you start the improvement process of the organization. It's divided into two parts. The first one is establishing accountability around key metrics, which happens through creating case teams. Case teams are groups of people who will be held accountable for the process of change. They will hold the roadmap that should be followed, and they will make sure that the correct actions are taken. The second part of the execution management is performance management. The groundwork for monitoring the process and fixing whatever goes wrong before it affects the final result. This is established through making sure that regular reviews of the projects are made. They could vary from short-term reviews that are made weekly and long-term ones that are made every 6 months, for example. Leaders must also actively monitor the projects to make sure that they are giving the best outcome to the organization, killing whatever project that is no longer working well. Part 2. Agility. Agility is not just about expecting change and working around it. It's more about working with it towards the goal that is already set despite its occurrence. It is about organizations being resilient to whatever is thrown at them. It is not about recovering from disasters and what goes wrong like many people wrongly assume. It's more about improving the organization and whether this disaster occurs or not. The organization is ready to deal, and you as a leader will not have to stretch beyond your limits. You will have everything ready for anything that comes your way. So, your challenge here as a leader hoping to achieve high performance is to develop the necessary indicators and to use them for your organization's success. There are two approaches for you to achieve that. 1. A symptoms-based approach. Nowadays, there are plenty of tests that doctors can perform on a patient, but they never do all of them because that would be impractical. What they do instead is that they limit down the number of tests to match your symptoms till they figure out what is wrong with you, and then fix it. The same process should be followed by organizations. Know the symptoms, collect data, and then try to fix it. And do not worry if it didn't work out. You can always run more tests till you manage to fix the issue, but don't start with all of them, as experience can help you in detecting the symptoms correctly and matching the right solution to the problem from the first shot. That can save a lot of time, money, and energy. And once you have a solution in hand, you can just use it on a similar symptom in the future. And through that, you are dodging bullets without them turning to a crisis. 2. A historical approach. This approach uses history to prepare for the future. For example, if we did not know that Christmas is in December, but we have the sales data for the last 10 years, and they show that around that time of the year, people shop a lot. Through this data, stores can multiply their products during this period as history taught them to prepare. The same can be applied in organizations, but it needs to be applied cautiously though, because the future is unpredictable no matter how much data we collect. The farmers, for example, used to monitor the seasons of rain to prepare for the planting season. But sometimes this backfires on them because they cannot predict a drought or heavy rains because these scenarios happen randomly and cannot be monitored. Hence, history can be used, but in very limited cases, and as a leader, you should not rely on it much. Part 3. Culture and Workforce. There are 8 lessons to be learned from people who are now considered the best leaders in the world. 1. Mission cost. Instead of focusing on the finances, start focusing on the value that is being brought by this money. 2. Sphere of influence. Many argue that they cannot make changes because it will be complicated because they do not have control over the whole organization. But if you give it a try in your area, you will notice a remarkable change that will affect the whole organization. 3. Fight the fears. When you inform your organization that you are going to start cutting the costs, most of the people will expect that they are going to lose their job. Your job here is to fight this fear before the chaos starts. Be honest and clear about your plan and the steps that you are taking. 4. Experience operational excellence firsthand. Learn from leaders who made it work and listen to their experiences so that you can form an idea about what to expect before it surprises you. 5. Learn by doing. Practice, practice, practice. You can start by practicing on yourself, then applying what you learn to the organization. 6. Empower teams in decision making. Teach all your team members all what you have learned so that you can comfortably delegate them and get the pace to go faster. 7. Become more accessible. Be transparent and leave your door open for suggestions. 8. Become a communication beacon. Communicate all what is happening with others. They will see you as a valuable leader to be kept, and you will gain their trust. Part 4. Performance-oriented deployment. What is a bit frustrating about making strategic plans is that many leaders admit that they leave it on the shelf at one point. When too many unexpected twists start to prevail, we can never be fully aware of how will the future unfold. But what we can do is create scenarios on what will most likely happen and hope for it to actually happen. This is what we call scenario analysis. It is not a foresight about what will happen. It is more of a group of stories that show possibilities of future events and what they may lead to. This scenario is, of course, based on data and specific patterns. And the better the scenario, the easier it is for the organization to prepare for what may happen in advance. The scenario analysis is established following the next 4 steps. 1. Describe the potential future states. You can always create alternative solutions to whatever comes your way from the future. These solutions could be based on the economy, demographics, technology, etc. Vary the solutions to deal with any possible scenario. 2. Create alternative scenarios. Create several future scenarios and analyze each of them to better be prepared. 3. Assess performance requirements in each scenario. If you find that your organization will be unable to handle one of these scenarios, start making changes to avoid a hustle before it starts. 4. Translate the assessment into actions. Locate the commonalities in different scenarios and try to limit down the actions that will be taken to a set of actions that can handle everything. If you applied all what we mentioned above, you will surely reach high performance. But the trap that many leaders fall into is the lack of patience. This process takes both time and effort, and if you are not willing to exert both, then you will either get stuck midway or give up and go back to the start line again. you must be fully aware that the results can take up to 2 years or more. Being speedy towards the change is good, but set a logical time frame for all what is needed and do not put all your attention on the journey. Keep an eye on the final prize, which is a good result, a positive outcome.